grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, in our new member class, or our Christian faith class, as we call it, we learn a number of things about the Lord God. We learn that He is omnipresent. In other words, He's everywhere at once. We learn that He is omnipotent, that He's all-powerful. We learn that He's omniscient, all-knowing. And we also learn that He's eternal, which means that the good Lord has no ending, but He also had no beginning. He's always been here. Now, by definition, if the good Lord has always been here, if He's always existed, that means that He doesn't have a birthday. He does not have a birthday, which is actually a pretty good thing for you and for me, because if the good Lord doesn't have a birthday, you don't have to give Him presents. You don't have to give Him presents. And let's be honest, what would you give Him anyway? Well, last year I tried to get Him this, but I don't know if that worked. So this year we've got to do something different. Book of Psalms, Psalm 50, the Lord says, "Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine." Job chapter 41, "Who has first given to me, the Lord, that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine." You don't have to give the good Lord presents. You don't have to give the good Lord presents. And what are you going to give him anyway? But that doesn't stop people from trying to give the good Lord presents. I remember when I was in college and sitting in a Bible study with my fellow college students, and we were going through God's Word, and we, of course, at that age were very passionate, but our Bible study, I'm afraid, was a little more heat than it was light. But we would say things like this: "You know, you need to give God something. You need to give Him your obedience. You need to give God your faithfulness. You need to give God your morality. You need to give God your clean living. You need to give God your service." And what you got right there is the oldest religion in the book. Not the book of the Bible, but the oldest religion in the book. The book of the human heart. It's something that Martin Luther faced in the Reformation. Martin Luther would preach God's holy word to people in Wittenberg, and then after Sunday, the next day, they would go over to the next county, and they would buy something. What would they go buy? Anybody remember? What'd they buy? Somebody. Indulgences. Indulgences, which meant what? Well, your loved ones didn't give enough to God in their life, and so because of that, they're being punished in purgatory. But the church is very merciful, and you can buy them a ticket out of purgatory. Just go over the county line, and you can buy an indulgence for them. Matter of fact, they even had a saying. It went like this: "Sobald der Pfennig im Kasten klingt, die Seele aus dem Fick vor springt." As soon as the coin in the coffer clings, the soul from purgatory springs. How beautiful. If you're going to sell something, you have to have a jingle, don't you? How beautiful it is. But that's the way the human heart looks at God. If I do something, God will do something. And the more I do and the better I do, the more the good Lord will respond. The Lord is like a vending machine. If I put in enough good deeds or prayers or offerings or whatever it is I'm supposed to give, I'll get a lot of candy bars out the bottom. Nowadays, we call it, and there's a word you hear folks using all the time, we call it being transactional. If I do for him and I do better for him, then the more he will do for me. Now, maybe you don't think about the good Lord on such a low level. Maybe you say to yourself, no, I have a better way of looking at things. I think that Christianity is the best system out there. I think that Christianity has the best morality out there. I think that Christianity is the most sensible, the most practical way to live. As a Christian person, and I do the things that God says, it floods me with a sense of well-being and purpose. And all of that may be true. It may be true, but I don't know that it gets a step further along the path to life. All you're really doing is not giving the good Lord presents, but you're giving yourself presents. Out of this, I get a sense of direction, a sense of well-being, a sense of purpose. All right, let's stop for a moment before the human heart gets any more complicated. Now, you might be saying to me, Pastor, you are talking lightly about the things of God. And I would say in response to you, no, I'm not talking lightly about the things of God, because we haven't been talking about the things of God. We've been talking about the things of man, the ways of man. I'm talking lightly about the things of man. And the truth is, you cannot talk too lightly about the things of man. Our observances, our offerings, our obedience, our effort, like they were some sort of merit or some sort of credit or some sort of reason for boasting. The psalm writer had it right, Psalm 62. He said, those people who are of low estate, they're but a breath. That's all the more they are. Those people who are of high estate, they're a delusion. They look powerful and great and mighty, but in the balances, they go up. And what a picture that is. Like the old scales, right? You put a weight on this side, you put something on this side. Now, when you put something on this side, what does the scale do? It goes like this. And the Lord says, you take everything that human beings do and all their power and might and glory and religious devotion, and what does the scale do? It goes up. There's nothing to it. It actually goes backwards. It's not what God is asking for. It's not what the good Lord is looking for. All this weight of our merit and our credit before Almighty God, it has no effect on the total scheme of things. And so what are you going to do? You're going to be the one who's going to give God presents? You're going to give things to the Lord? Isaiah chapter 64, you can almost see the prophet shaking his head, and this is what he says. He says, Lord, we've all become like someone who's unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Right there are the only things that you have to give to the good Lord. But old habits, old beliefs, die hard. Like today's gospel lesson, where Jesus said to the Jews, but it could be any people group, it's the human heart we're talking about. Jesus said, and I quote, to the Jews who had believed him, he said, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's where we should just simply stop. We're done. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 33. Yes, but they answered him, we are the offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Years back, when my family and I lived in the country people had a saying. They said, a mule can't kick when it's pulling. A mule can't kick when it's pulling. We could take that another way. We could say a sinner can't talk when they're repenting. A sinner cannot talk when they're repenting. You got nothing to say. What do I have to say before God? Oh yeah, but Lord. You got nothing to say. Job chapter 40, verse 4. Job said, behold, I am of small account, Lord. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have to be quiet. But these folks in the gospel lesson for today, they're still talking. They're still talking and saying, we are the children of Abraham. And that is a loaded statement. What it says is this: we have merit. We have a right standing. We have the right genes. We have right upbringing. We have right behavior. We have right attitude. And you can almost hear John the Baptist shaking his head as he said to them, look, people, the Lord God can take these stones. He's by the Jordan River, a bunch of river stones. He said, the Lord God can take these stones and make out of them descendants of Abraham. The Lord God himself can do that out of nothing. He knew, as the good Lord knows, that the human heart says what? Look at me. Look what I did. Look how I served Jesus. And God's holy law says, don't look too hard. Don't look too close, because you start to, you're going to run into trouble. Today's lesson tells us that. It says there's only one thing that can stop a sinner's mouth, stop you from jabbering, stop you from talking before Almighty God, and that is the holy law of God. Because God's holy law starts asking the uncomfortable questions, and it says this. It says, did you fear, love, and trust in God above all things? Did you remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Did you call upon the good Lord in every trouble? Did you honor the government? Are you honest in your every dealing? Did you look out for other people's needs before your own? Did you avoid all gossip? Did you honor your spouse? Did you keep your eyes and your longing away from something that belongs to somebody else? King David knew the answer to that question. This is what he said, Psalm 51. He said, Lord, this is what I know. I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. And what did Job say? The Bible calls him the greatest of all the men of the East. And Job said, I'm of small account. When I stand before you, God, I've got to put my hand over my mouth. I have to shut up. See, what you got there is people running up against a brick wall. And the brick wall is, from today's lesson, all have what? Sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Or you can take 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we would deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Don't go bother looking for it. Don't look for the truth, because it's not in you. It's someplace else. The truth is in the Lord Jesus and what he did and what he said. And how he followed his Father's will, and how he shed his blood, and how he washed you clean. The truth is about Jesus, that's what we want to talk about. So, today's lesson. Where then is boasting? And the lesson answers the question for us. It says it's shut out. It's excluded. It's shown the door. You got boasting and pride in what you do and how much you have accomplished for the good Lord. That and faith cannot be in the same room, because faith knows it's only by the grace of God in Christ that you're anything at all. And if you are in Christ, you are something. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. You're pardoned. You're cleansed. You're honored. You're blessed. And do you want to do something? You don't have to do something. Everything's been done already. But a child of God who has the Holy Spirit says, yeah, Lord, where do we go from here? The Lord says, okay, everything's taken care of at this point. You want to honor the Lord? You want to bless your neighbor? That's where you go. Those are things that you can do. They're not presents to God. They're not gifts to God. They're just a thanksgiving to Almighty God. But ultimately, what do you want more than anything else? You want to talk about Jesus and what he did. And maybe that's the message of the Reformation. The message of the Reformation is time to stop talking about us. And that's what Luther said, taking on the whole Catholic Church, but actually taking on the human heart. It's time to stop talking about us. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about what he did. Let's talk about how if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.